The Diary of a Provincial Lady by E. M. Delafield. Section 1. November 7th. Plant the indoor bulbs. Just as I am in the middle of them, Lady Box calls. I say, untruthfully, how nice to see her, and beg her to sit down while I just finish the bulbs. Lady B makes determined attempt to sit down in armchair, where I have already placed two bulb bowls and the bag of charcoal, is headed off just in time, and takes the sofa. "Do I know," she asks, "how very late it is for indoor bulbs? September, really, or even October, is the time. Do I know that the only really reliable firm for hyacinths is somebody of Harlem?" Cannot catch the name of the firm, which is Dutch, but reply, "Yes, I do know, but think it my duty to buy Empire products." Feel at the time, and still think, that this is an excellent reply. Unfortunately, Vicky comes into the drawing-room later and says, "Oh, Mummy, are those the bulbs we got at Woolworth's?" Lady B stays to tea. Memo. Bread and butter too thick. Speak to Ethel. We talk some more about bulbs, the Dutch school of painting, our vicar's wife, sciatica, and all quiet on the Western Front. Query. Is it possible to cultivate the art of conversation when living in the country all the year round? Lady B inquires after the children. Tell her that Robin, whom I refer to in a detached way as the boy, so that she shan't think I am foolish about him, is getting on fairly well at school, and that Mademoiselle says Vicky is starting a cold. "Do I realise," says Lady B, "that the cold habit is entirely unnecessary, and can be avoided by giving the child a nasal douche of salt and water every morning before breakfast?" Think of several rather tart and witty rejoinders to this, but unfortunately not until Lady B's Bentley has taken her away. Finish the bulbs and put them in the cellar. Feel that, after all, cellar is probably draughty. Change my mind and take them all up to the attic. Cook says something is wrong with the range. November 8th. Robert has looked at the range and says nothing wrong whatever. Makes unoriginal suggestion about pulling out dampers. Cook very angry and will probably give notice. Try to propitiate her by saying that we are going to Bournemouth for Robin's half term, and that will give the household a rest. Cook replies austerely that they will take the opportunity to do some extra cleaning. Wish I could believe this was true. Preparations for Bournemouth rather marred by discovering that Robert, in bringing down the suitcases from the attic, has broken three of the bulb bowls. Says he understood that I had put them in the cellar, and so wasn't expecting them. November 11th, Bournemouth. Find that history, as usual, repeats itself. Same hotel, same frenzied scurry round the school to find Robin, same collection of parents, most of them also staying at the hotel. Discover strong tendency to exchange with fellow parents exactly the same remarks as last year, and the year before that. Speak of this to Robert, who returns no answer. Perhaps he is afraid of repeating himself. This suggests, query, does Robert, perhaps, take in what I say even when he makes no reply? Find Robin looking thin and speak to Matron, who says brightly, oh no, she thinks on the whole he's put on weight this term, and then begins to talk about the new buildings. Query, why do all schools have to run up new buildings about once in every 6 months? Take Robin out. He eats several meals and a good many sweets. He produces a friend, and we take both to Corfe Castle. The boys climb, Robert smokes in silence, and I sit about on stones. Overhear a woman remark, as she gazes up at half a tower that has withstood several centuries, that this looks fragile, which strikes me as a singular choice of adjective. Same woman, climbing over a block of solid masonry, points out that this has evidently fallen off somewhere. Take the boys back to the hotel for dinner. Robin says, whilst the friend is out of hearing, it's been nice for us taking out William.